Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas Daf Yud Test, the second parak Ketzad. The second parak has been generously sponsored for the Hatzlacha of Avadya ben Leah and his family. So the three daf's are going to focus on number one. Rav Oshia challenged Rabbi Oshia's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon that Zika Chagunusa Damya, a Zika is equivalent to making the Yavama the Yavam's full-fledged wife, based on the following Mishnah, which states, there are three brothers, two of whom married two sisters, or a woman and her daughter, or one of her granddaughters, and the two married brothers died childless, leaving their widows to the third brother for Yibum. They do Chalitza and not Yibum. But Rabbi Shimon exempts them even from a Chalitza. Now, if Rabbi Shimon holds Zika Chuknusya Damya, that a Zika makes the Yavama like a full-fledged wife, then let the third brother perform Yibum with the one who was widowed first, and then the other one should be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, since her sister is already somewhat married to the Yavama. After several solutions to this challenge are rejected, Rav Ashi answers, if the two sisters fell to Yibum one after the next, that would be the case that the first widow would be permitted to Yibum. But the case here is the Nafu Babasachas, where they fell to the third brother at the exact same moment. And Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi Galili, who says, Efshel at some same. It's possible to be exact. Point number two is taught in a Braisa, Osev Maimra B'Yibim Toshamadata. If one performed Maimra with the Yavama, without her consent, Rebbe says Kana, he's acquired her as his wife, but the Chamis say that he is not. The Gemara explains that Rebbe's reason is that Gamar Mamiya the Yavama. He derives the laws of Maimra from the law of relations with the Yavama. Just as the Yavam's relations with the Yavama makes her his Yavama against her will, Av Kedushin the Yavama, so too the Kedushin of Yavama, meaning Maimra, makes her his Yavama against her will. But the Rabban hold Gamri Makedushin da Alma. We derive it from Kedushin in general. Ma Kedushin da Alma Medaita, just as Kedushin in general is done with her consent, so too Maimer must be done with her consent. The Gemara further clarifies that Rebbe holds that we should learn Mili di Yavama, Mili di Yavama. Matters related to a Yavama, such as Maimer, from matters related to Yavama, such as doing Yibum. But the Rabban hold that we should learn Mili to Kedushin, Mili to Kedushin, matters relating to Kedushin from matters relating to Kedushin, and Maimer is a matter of Kedushin. And point number three, when Menashe Bar Zvita asked Rav Huna what was Rabbi Shimon's reason for permitting the third brother born after Yibum to the first brother's Yavama, the Gemara expresses surprise to the question, since it was stated specifically in an earlier Braisa that his reason was, since the new brother found the Yavama in a permitted state and she never stood before him for one moment in a forbidden state. The Gemara then revised the question to what was the Chachamim's reason for prohibiting the third brother who was born after Yibum, and answers that the Pasuk states, and he, referring to the Yavam, shall take her to himself as a wife and perform Yibum with her, which implies that even after he takes her as his wife, the original Yibum status is still on her. Rashi explains that this means that she is always called a Yavama. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Oshia challenged Rabbi Oshia's interpretation, Rabbi Shimon, that Zika Chuknusya Damya, a Zika is equivalent to making the Yavama the Yavam's full-fledged wife, based on the following Mishnah, which states, there are three brothers, two of whom married two sisters, or a woman and her daughter, or one of her granddaughters, and the two married brothers died childless, leaving their widows to the third brother for Yibum. They do Chalitza and not Yibum. But Rabbi Shimon exempts him even from a Chalitza. Now, if Rabbi Shimon holds Zika Chuknusya Damya, that a Zika makes the Yavama like a full-fledged wife, then let the third brother perform Yibum with the one who was widowed first, and then the other one should be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, since her sister is already somewhat married to the Yavam. After several solutions to this challenge are rejected, Rav Ashi answers, if the two sisters fell to Yibum one after the next, that would be the case that the first widow would be permitted to Yibum. But the case here is the Nafu Babasachas, where they fell to the third brother at the exact same moment. And Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi Galili, who says, Efshel at some same. It's possible to be exact. Point number two is taught in a Braisa, Osev Maimra B'Yibim Toshamadata. If one performed Maimra with the Yavama, without her consent, Rebbe says Kana, he's acquired her as his wife. But the Chamis say that he is not. The Gemara explains that Rebbe's reason is that Gamar Mamiya the Yavama. He derives the laws of Maimra from the law of relations with the Yavama. Just as the Yavam's relations with the Yavama makes her his Yavama against her will, Av Kedushin the Yavama, so too the Kedushin of Yavama, meaning Maimra, makes her his Yavama against her will. But the Rabban hold Gamri Makedushin da Alma. We derive it from Kedushin in general. Ma Kedushin da Alma Medaita, just as Kedushin in general is done with her consent, so too Maimer must be done with her consent. The Gemara further clarifies that Rebbe holds that we should learn Mili di Yavama, Mili di Yavama. Matters related to a Yavama, such as Maimer, from matters related to Yavama, such as doing Yibum. But the Rabbanan hold that we should learn Mili to Kedushin and Mili to Kedushin, matters relating to Kedushin from matters relating to Kedushin. And Mimer is a matter of Kedushin. And point number three, when Menashe Bar Zvi asked Rav Huna what was Rabbi Shimon's reason for permitting the third brother born after Yibum to the first brother's Yavama, the Gemara expresses surprise to the question, since it was stated specifically in an earlier brisa that his reason was since the new brother found the Yavama in a permitted state and she never stood before him for one moment in a forbidden state. The Gemara then revised the question to what was the Chachamim's reason for prohibiting the third brother who was born after Yibum, and answers that the Pasuk states, and he, referring to the Yavam, shall take her to himself as a wife and perform Yibum with her, which implies that even after he takes her as his wife, the original Yibum status is still on her. Rashi explains that this means that she is always called a Yavama. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Yotes, and our standard Simon is a Yacht. A yacht. So here goes. When a huge wave crashed into a yacht, killing two brothers who were married to two sisters at exactly the same time, one of the Yavamas got upset when a Yavam attempted to do Mimer without her consent, while the other one overheard a group of passengers murmur, "Once a Yavama, always a Yavama." Once again, it's slow motion. When a huge wave crashed into a yacht, that must mean we're on Daf Yotes. When a huge wave crashed into a yacht, killing two brothers who were married to two sisters at exactly the same time, which reminds us, Rav Oshia challenged Rav Oshia's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon that Zika Kognusya Damya, a Zika is equivalent to making the Yavama the Yavam's full-fledged wife, based on a mission where Rabbi Shimon exempts two sisters who fall to a third brother from even doing chalitza. Now, if Rabbi Shimon holds Zika Kognusya Damya, that a Zika makes the Yavama like a full-fledged wife, then let the third brother perform Yibum with the one who is widowed first, and then the other one should be exempt from Yibum and chalitza, since her sister is already somewhat married to the Yavam. After several solutions to this challenge are rejected, Rav Ashi answers, either nafu bezer kazeh hakinami, if the two sisters fell to Yibum one after the next, that would be the case that the first widow would be permitted to Yibum. But the case here is the nafu bebas achas, where they fell to the third brother at the exact same moment. And Rav Shimon holds, like Rav Yossi Agli, who says, efsho et samsem, it's possible to be exact. So when a huge wave crashed into a yacht, killing two brothers who were married to two sisters at exactly the same time, one of the Yavamas got upset when the Yavam attempted to do Mimer without her consent. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Osamai b'yabimtov shulmadaita, if one performed Mimer with a Yavama without her consent, Rebbe says, Kana, he's acquired her as his wife, but the Chachamim say that he is not. And the Gemara explains that the question rests on whether we learn out Mimer from Yibum, which can be done without consent, or from Kedushin, which has to be done with consent. So, when a huge wave crashed into a yacht, killing two brothers who were married to two sisters at exactly the same time, one of the Yavamas got upset when a Yavam attempted to do Mimer without her consent, while the other one overheard a group of passengers murmur, "Once a Yavama, always a Yavama." Which reminds us, the Gemara asked what was the Chachamim's reason for prohibiting the third brother who was born after Yibum, and answers that the Pasuk states, "L'kacha lo le'isha v'yibma," and he, referring to the Yavam, shall take her to himself as a wife and perform Yibum with her, which implies adayin Yibum mi'ham rishonim aleha, that even after he takes her as his wife, the original Yibum status is still on her. Rashi explains that this means she's always called a Yavama. So once again, when a huge wave crashed into a yacht, killing two brothers who were married to two sisters at exactly the same time, one of the Yavamas got upset when a Yavam attempted to do Mimer without her consent, while the other one overheard a group of passengers murmur, "Once a Yavama, always a Yavama." All right, now it's time for Vorbala Bat Chazara. Daf Tes Vav. So the Simmer Daf Tes Vav relates to the fruit of Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl, that must mean we're in Daf Tes Vav. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara, which reminds us, the Gemara continues the discussion whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion and brings a brisa that states Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, said, "Te'avani masay tavu tzara sabas l'yadi v'ase'ena, I desire the time when the tzara, my daughter, who is currently married to my brother, will fall into my hand and I will marry her in Yibum. Since marrying a tzara of an Arab is only permitted according to Beis Shammai, this is proof that Beis Shammai followed their opinion." The Gemara answered, Rabbi Tarfon said, "Va'asiena, and I will marry her off to someone else without doing chalitza, which would be permitted according to Beis Silla." And Rabbi Tarfon sought to preclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who attempted to accommodate the views of both Beis Shammai and Beis Silla by requiring every tzara do chalitza. By stating that chalitza is not necessary, Rabbi Tarfon was showing that he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's suggestion. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and toveled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, which reminds us Mar Zutra attempted to show that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion based on the following brisa. Maisa b'shokas Yehu sha'itz b'Yerushalayim. There was an incident with Yehu's trough in Yerushalayim, which was connected to an adjoining mikveh, and all the tower fruits were prepared there, meaning that their kelim were immersed there. And Beis Shammai sent and widened it, for they held that it's not valid until the majority of the dividing wall is broken, so that the waters mix over a large area and not just through a hole. The Gemara rejects his proof, saying that one who sees the Talmud of Beis Shammai breaking over the wall of Yehu's trough would say that he's doing it to increase the amount of water in the trough. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and toveled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, refused to answer a shaila about whether a tzara's habas is mutter and yibum out of fear that some people might want to crush his skull. Which reminds us, Gemara brings another proof that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. Yeshua was asked, Tzara Sabas Mahu, what is the halacha regarding the tzara of one's daughter? Is one permitted to earn yibum? He answered, that's a malchus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And when pressed regarding who the halacha follows, he answered, Mifnei ma'atem machnisin roshi ben shnei harim gadolim. Why are you putting my head between two great mountains, between the two great factions of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? Mis yarani shema yorotsu gogalti. I'm afraid they might crush my skull. Rashi explains that if he ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, then those who are rendered to be mamzerim might kill him. The Gemara explains that if you say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that's why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid that those rendered Mamzeri might kill him. But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, what was he afraid of? Daf Tezayin. So the Simur Daf Tezayin is toes, and we often use an acrobat with big toes. So here goes. The poor acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tezayin. The poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, which reminds us that Rabbi Dos Ben Hargan has clarified to a delegation Rabbanim that he held like Beis Hillel that Tzara's Bito Asura, and that it was his brother Yonason, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, who held Tzara's Bito as Mutter, and he had 300 reasons to back up his position. So, the poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Amo, where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz. Which reminds us, Haggai's second ruling was Amon Amo of Ma'asri Maaser Ani b'Shviz. Jews in Amon Amo of give Maaser Ani in the seventh year. Only the lands of the ones from Babel conquered would be sanctified for future times and be subject to the laws that apply in Eretz Yisrael. And they left over some areas unsanctified in order that the poor should rely on them for produce during Shviz. Rashi explains that the poor in Eretz Yisrael would come to Amon Amo during Shviz and hire themselves out as agricultural workers and also receive Leket Shechua Peah and Maaser Ani. So the poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Amoav, where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz, and was relieved to meet the minister of the world who told him that he'd never seen a tzaddik forsaken, which reminds us, it was the Sar HaOlam, the minister of the world, which is a malach, into whose hands the whole world has been given, who recited the pasuk, Nahayisi Gamzikanti, Loraisi Tzaddik Nezav, I have been a youth and also old, but I have not seen a tzaddik forsaken, nor his children begging for food. The Maharshal explains that since this malach existed from the time of creation, his testimony that he never saw a tzaddik forsaken is truly remarkable. Daf Yud Zayin, so the Simur Daf Yud Zayin is a used car, and we often use a used car salesman. So here goes. The non-Jewish used car salesman. Used car salesman? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The non-Jewish used car salesman from 10 Tribe Autos, which reminds us, on the bottom of the Tessin Amma Bay's review to set in the name of Ravasi, if an idolatrous Mekadosh a Jewish woman nowadays, we suspect that it's a valid Kedushin because he might be a Jew from the Aseret HaShvatim, from the 10 Tribes. Rashi explains that Ravasi holds that a child born from a Jewish man and a Gentile woman is a Jewish mamzer, and therefore, nowadays, we suspect that every non-Jewish man from the place where the 10 Tribes dwell is a Jewish mamzer descendant from the 10 Tribes, and we need to suspect that the Kedushin is valid. Shmuel said that there isn't a problem, for a child born from a Jewish father to a Gentile woman is not Jewish, and there isn't a concern about the children born from Jewish women from the 10 tribes, because either they were not able to give birth because of the long, difficult journey, or because the Nevi'im declared that their offspring should be considered complete idolaters. So the non-Jewish used car salesman from 10 Tribe Autos sold a van to two living paternal brothers who just received a Yerusha from their father, which reminds us that the source that Ne'eshes Hachiv, Sholiyah B'Lomo, is not taking Yibum is from the Pasuk Yeshu Achim Yachtov, when brothers dwell together and one of them dies childless. Sha'aitzalem Yeshiva Achaz Ba'olam Prat Ne'eshes Hachiv, Sholiyah B'Lomo. This implies that the brothers dwelled at the same time in the world, excluding the wife of one's non-contemporary brother. Rav Yehuda then expands to the word Yachtov, together, teaches Miuchadim and Nachla, joined in regard to Ne'eshes. inheritance, which Rashi explains means that they inherit each other, prat la'achiv min ha'em, excluding from Yibum one's brother from a mother. Rava said that the source that Yibum was only for paternal brothers is learned from the Gezerah Shava of Achva Achva m'minei Yaakov. So, the non-Jewish used car salesman from 10 tribe autos sold a van to two living paternal brothers who just received a Yerusha from their father, who were racing to make it to the wedding of the mother of a deceased Shomer's Yavam to a Yavam because they held there was no Zika. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Shomer's Yavam Shemesa Mutta Be'ima, if a woman who is awaiting her Yavam died before he did Yibum or Chalitza, he's permitted to marry her mother. The Gemara says that we see the Rav Huna holds Ein Zika. There is no Zika bond between the Yavam and his Yavama. Rashi explains that we do not look at the Zika to the Yavama as a bond that makes her like an Arusa, an engaged woman who would forbid her mother to him after her death. Daf Yud Ches, so the Simra Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah, because Ben Yud Ches, a chuppah, an 18-year-old, goes to chuppah. So here goes. The expert Yibum rabbi, famous for his psak, that it's asher to be mevatel, the mitzvah of Yibum, was interrupted in the middle of a chuppah. Chuppah? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. The expert Yibum rabbi, famous for his psak, that it's asher to be mevatel, the mitzvah of Yibum, which reminds you, Remer holds that there is no Zika. And the reason for his ruling that two sisters that fall to Yibum to two brothers must do chalitza is because he holds asher mevatel mitzvahs yavamim. It's forbidden to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. If Yibum was permitted, then perhaps after one brother does Yibum, the other one will die. And then the first one will not be able to do Yibum or Chalitza to the other widow because she's an erva to him, being that she is a sister of his Yavama. Therefore, Rav Meir prohibits either brother from doing Yibum and requires him to do Chalitza. So, the expert Yibum rabbi, famous for his psak, that's asa to be mavatel, the mitzvah of Yibum, was interrupted in the middle of a chuppah with news that a baby brother of a Yavam had been born after the Yibum, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon holds that a baby born after a second brother does Yibum may do Yibum or Chalitza to the Yavama from the first brother or her Tzara. Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon holds that since the Yavama became the wife of the second brother before the third brother was born, she never fell to Yibum to the third brother. Therefore, she's not an erva to him, and he may do Yibum or Chalitza to either her or her Tzara. So the expert Yibum rabbi, famous for his psak, that it's asa to be mavato, the mitzvah of Yibum, was interrupted in the middle of a chuppah with news that a baby brother of a Yavam had been born after the Yibum, and immediately sent back a message that even the baby had been born before the Yibum, that there is Zika, and the Yavam is like a full-fledged wife. Which reminds us, Rabbi Oshia says, Chol kari Rabbi Shimon af b'rishona. Rabbi Shimon also disagrees with the first mishnah in the Perek and holds that even if the third brother was born before the second brother did Yibum, if the second brother dies childless after doing Yibum with the Yavama, the third brother may take her since she's not considered Eisha Zachiv Shloya Balomo. The Gemara explains, Kasavar Yesh Zika, V'Zika Kekunusadamya. The Rabbi Shimon holds that there is Zika between every Yavam and Yavama, and he also holds that a woman bound to a man in Zika is considered like a full-fledged wife. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.